Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. 1080 on your AM dial for almost 50 years. And, of course, 95.1 FM. We are the one. And it's a beautiful morning if you like humidity. There is plenty of sunshine. It did rain a little bit. Your garden is growing. And things are just flowing. This is the 27th day of August, and the year is 2018. And my guest this morning is a gentleman I just met recently. And let's say hello to our guest this morning, who is the general manager of Apple Chevrolet Buick in Northfield, Minnesota. Troy Judding, thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Wayne.
How you doing, as they say?
I'm doing fantastic. Beautiful morning. You can't complain.
Now, what I'd like to know is, first of all, is how was your vacation?
My vacation was good. I actually spent it up north. I enjoy fishing, so went up to Rainy Lake for a little while and really enjoy my time up there.
I have been on Rainy Lake many times for fishing openers when it snowed and sleet and all that stuff. How was fishing in the end of August on Rainy?
It was fantastic. Sometimes in the spring, like you say, Wayne, it can be a little bit early up there yet when fishing opener rolls around. But come July and August, fishing up there is really good. So had a real enjoyable time, caught some fish, and enjoyed relaxing a little bit.
Have you ever rented one of those big houseboats?
I have not. I actually know the owner of Rainy Lake Houseboats, and he's been trying to coax me to go on one for a long time. I've been going up there for years, and they sure look like fun, that's for sure. You know, you see them out on the lake and go out for 5, 6, 7 days if you want. Some of them even have the hot tubs up on top of the of the houseboats.
And so slides.
Slides off of them into the lake and the hot tubs. You see a lot of people up there really enjoying them, that's for sure.
What really amazes me, Troy, and maybe you can give a story since you know the owner, but basically you can anybody can rent and drive or whatever you say, these big multi-tens of thousands of dollar units, and I'm thinking, boy, you have to be really trustworthy. Do you know if they give lessons or anything?
Well, they actually, what they do is they have somebody who drives the big boat out for you. You can trailer your boats behind. They pull your boats behind, but they have somebody who drives the big boats out there, and there's a number of different packages you can get with them. You can have a chef on board if you want to for the whole week, and makes all your meals, and a lot of times they'll go out and guides will come out in the morning and meet you, pick up the guys and or gals and take them out fishing, and then come back and do shore lunch, and it's quite an experience
and probably quite an expense.
It is a little bit expensive, but I think when you look at it and you look at everything you get for it, and it's probably not something you're going to do every year, but definitely one of those things that maybe once in a lifetime. It's definitely, when you watch the people and you talk to the people who come back in afterwards, they pretty much per person say that's an experience that they'll never forget.
Something to put on your bucket list.
Yeah, for sure.
I would really enjoy doing that. I went fishing recently on the river between Stillwater and Hudson.
Sure.
And I let out a lot of line and let it go to the bottom, and I pulled in a huge flathead catfish.
Oh, good for you.
And then, believe it or not, I did it again. But it was, there's a flathead, and then there was I can't remember the name of the other one. But, boy, they were, I mean, we're talking 20 pounds or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught some northern.
Good for
and
you.
And some sauger.
Sauger.
And walleye.
Sounds like you had a great time.
Oh, yeah. A good day. We got on the water about 8:15 and didn't get off till 5:30.
Yeah, that's...
And all we did is troll.
Yeah.
Just back and forth between the two towns.
Yeah. Went for a great boat ride and caught some fish along the way.
Yeah, and it rained and it was sunny and, you know, it was everything. Brought our own lunch, you know. It was... I can't... You know, fishing is just so relaxing.
It is for me, too. And you get up there, and fortunately, a lot of places up in that Rainy Lake area, your cell phone doesn't even work. So you can get out and get away from kind of the everyday commotion of life a little bit. And it's an interesting lake because the last, the eastern 30 miles or so of it, there's no cabins at all. So you can go out some days and maybe see one or two boats the whole day that you're out there.
What's the rules and regulations in regards to Canada and Minnesota?
Well, you it's obviously probably two-thirds of the lake are in Canada. If you apply for and get a remote border crossing permit, they're called, and obviously you need your Ontario fishing license as well. But if you have those two things, you can put in the States and then fish on both sides of the lake. If not, you just have to stay on the Minnesota side, and there it's a pretty well-defined boundary. If you have GPS in your boat, the unit will tell you
okay.
If you're on the Canadian or the American
side. Well, what
about
50 years ago when there were no such things
like that?
Well,
then you had to kind of guess,
as
to if you were on the line or across the line a little bit. But the people up there are fantastic, both in Fort Frances, which is the Canadian town just across the border from International Falls. And both sides, the people are fantastic and really take care of people up there. So they're not out looking to get you as much as they're looking to help you.
Well, Troy Judding is my guest on KYMN Radio. Troy is the general manager. What title do you have? Store manager? I don't know.
General manager, interim general manager right now down here in Northfield. We have five locations, one in Apple Valley and three in Shakopee, plus the location here in Northfield. And I've kind of been working out of all five of the stores. For right now, though, I'm pretty much in Northfield full-time and enjoying it. Northfield is a fantastic town. I spent a lot of years in Mankato, so I'm familiar with Northfield and really great people and a great town.
Well, a lot of people listening know that the 1999 graduate of Northfield High School, Justin Olson, has been my guest on many occasions. A Dundas Dukes baseball player and guy that gets involved in the community, and he has a position within the Apple Corporation, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Justin is working for all five of our dealerships in the used car market. Used cars are a big part of car dealerships, and Justin plays an integral role in that.
So he's on the phone, and he's on the smartphone and on his computer, and probably has to organize picking up a car and getting it delivered to one of the dealerships.
Yeah, buying cars from auctions. There's a lot of different things that goes on in a car dealership, and as I said, used cars is a big part of it, and Justin plays a big part in that.
Now, you said Apple has five locations, and I'm familiar with Apple Valley, which is a Apple Ford.
It's a Ford and Lincoln dealership.
And Lincoln, okay.
Yes.
And then, of course, Northfield is the Chevrolet and Buick.
Yeah.
And what are the other three in Shakopee?
We have a Ford store in Shakopee as well. And then we have a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram store in Shakopee. And then we have a used car dealership in Shakopee as well. So we really cover most of the American made product.
Yeah, I would imagine somebody that comes into your store here in Northfield and they say, well, listen, I was kind of looking for a four-wheel drive Jeep, and you can say, well, look at here, here's my computer and here's what we have ready to deliver. You can get it, we'll bring it down, da 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 da.
Yeah, we can do pretty much anything for people with all of those dealerships and with them brands. And the other thing, we also have access to all of the used vehicles on all five of the lots, which is usually most months anywhere between 800 and 1,000 used vehicles to select from as well. So Just because we don't have it actually physically sitting on the ground in Northfield, we can get it in a short amount of time and help people out that way as well.
Are you commuting from your home?
I am. I drive. I own a home in Savage.
Okay.
So I drive down. It's actually a beautiful drive every morning. Gives you a little bit of time to get ready for the day, and mm-hmm. on the way home gives you a little bit of time to unwind. But it's not, you know, I'm used to driving, so a lot of people think 40 minutes is a long time. I enjoy it, actually.
Well, one of the things that's nice, and I've had guests on before, you're commuting, they came down all the way from Maple Grove, for example.
Yep.
And what they said was, we're not fighting traffic once we get past 494, because we're on our way and everybody else is going the other way and vice versa when you go home?
Yeah, I'm lucky in that I'm fortunate. I'm south of 494, so I don't really deal with it at all. A little bit on 13 to get the day started, but once I get to 35W and start heading south, you never have traffic. And every once in a while on the way back, when you get close to 13, there can be a little bit of traffic, but don't really deal with the traffic, and as I said, I kind of enjoy the drive. It gives me a chance to mentally get ready for the day and also kind of mentally unwind on the way home.
You know, I was just thinking, you're a lot younger than me, but I remember when there was no 35, and we used to take 13 from St. Paul down to Lakeville, where we hung out with some friends from Lakeville. Everything was single lane. And today, I can't imagine, you know, they're complaining about not enough lanes on 35, for example.
Well, it's interesting. I grew up in Richfield.
Okay.
And so I kind of watched it all happen. I don't know about a lot younger than you, Wayne, but I remember time when I could actually ride my bike and get across 494.
Oh, boy.
I didn't live too far away from the old Met Center, and I had a friend who lived right on the corner of, basically Cedar and 494, and we could take our bikes and get to the Met Center from his house, and now I don't know how you'd ever imagine doing that.
Oh, it'd be impossible. You're a generation younger than me, so did you ever take advantage of the close to, you mentioned, Met Center? Did you ever, like, bike over there and sneak in a game or get Kent Herbig's autograph?
Unfortunately, I have to say yes. I did sneak in a game or two there. Back in the old days when the Met Center was there, there was a little hole out by the left field bleachers and fence where you could sneak through. And if you remember the old Met Center, down below the bleachers, it wasn't chicken wire, but it was wiring down below, and we actually would stand underneath the bleachers and watch part of the game until we got caught and got kicked out of there. But I used to go to a lot of games and pay to get in them games, and watched a lot of the games, both baseball, football, and hockey, when it was there, because it was easy and convenient to get to.
Did you have season tickets?
No.
Your parents?
No, we did not have season tickets to any of them, but fortunately knew a lot of people in Richfield there that had access to tickets and actually got to watch quite a few games.
That'd be kind of exciting. And I got to believe that if you're caught by Griffith, the manager, owner, he probably said, who cares, go on in.
Well, they were awful nice. We never got in real trouble for it. Obviously, they didn't like us doing it, and we didn't do it a whole bunch by any means. But different generation back then. Now, with all the stuff going on, you got to be a lot tighter with that stuff.
Troy Judding is my guest here this morning. He's the general manager of Apple Chevrolet Buick right here in Northfield. It's 18 minutes after 9 o'clock on KYMN Radio. And it's time for me to remind you, if you want a breakfast, boy, I'll tell you, they have the best breakfasts in town. I don't know, Troy, if you discovered the Quarterback Club yet, but if you enjoy a big breakfast they serve until 10 o'clock in the morning, and you can get anything, cup of coffee and a donut, or you can get bacon and eggs any way you want them, waffles, pancakes, cereal. I'll tell you, the Quarterback Club, and it's locally owned and locally managed, and they've been in business for over 50 years at that location, originally started by several members of the Minnesota Vikings. Had one up in the Shakopee area. Do you remember those?
I do, and I have had a chance to be in this one, and a great place. Again, going back to the town of Northfield, I think the community supports itself extremely well, and a lot of great people in this town, and I think anytime you go into any place, really, you get that Midwestern feel of great people just looking to help out.
Did you have a chance to tell Larry Anthony that you were going to be my guest this morning?
I did not see Larry this morning, but obviously Larry is a fixture at our dealership there and does a fantastic job, and somebody that I'm amazed by every day. Somebody at Larry's age that still puts in the kind of time and effort, and what he does for his customers is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a year younger than me.
Larry owned the establishment.
The L&M.
In Dundas over there, and the number of people that come in to see Larry is amazing, but it really tells you what kind of person he is when he has the number of visitors that just stop in to say hi.
Yep. He sold me a car, and he sold my wife a car on more than one occasion, by the way. So, he's a good salesman. I remember I had a Bravada, and I had four Bravadas, mm-hmm. and I liked Oldsmobile. I still have one. Mm-hmm. I have a 75 Olds convertible.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so anyhow, I bought the warranty for it after the original one wore out, and it was kind of limited to the drivetrain, and it ran out. And guess what?
Right afterwards.
Amen. I bring it in, and of course you've got the boys back there, and put her up on a hoist and did this and did that. And I said, Wayne, your transmission and drivetrain is shot. Well, how much is it going to cost? Well, that doesn't sound good. I might as well buy a car. And so Larry showed me a couple of them in between, you know, doing his other things. And I got on the phone. I called my wife, and I said, Julie, I said, the Bravada's dead, and I'm going to be buying a car. And she's okay. I said, just wanted you to know. And she says, are you thinking about a 7-passenger? No, not at all. Why would I want that? I'm a grandpa. So anyhow, I hung up and I went, oh, I know. My wife is the chairwoman of the ambassador program, which you contributed to with some oil changes. Thank you very much for that. And I get it. She wants to haul the three ambassadors and the two junior ambassadors and two chaperones at 7. So I said, Larry, do you happen to have a 7-passenger available used?
Yeah.
And he said, Wayne, I just had one come on in. And he said, I'll go get it. And he drove it out there. I went, well, that's pretty nice. That's, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll take it.
Yeah.
He said, well, Wayne, you got to drive it. And I said, I don't have to drive it. I'll just take it, you know. I trust you.
Right.
And he said, well, take it for a drive anyhow. Okay. So I went basically around the block and drove it back in and worked with your F&I guy. And it's a nice car, and you'll probably attest to this, Troy. I have never seen so many Buick Buick
Envision?
No.
Encore?
No. The
Enclave?
Enclave. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Really nice vehicle.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I trusted Larry, and so the only thing he had to do is teach me about all the junk that's inside.
And there's a lot of stuff on the new vehicles, that's for sure, and Larry, again, Larry amazes me. He, extremely trustworthy guy, but the amount of time and the effort he puts into all of his customers is, in my opinion, incredible, and we're very fortunate to have Larry with us.
Well, Troy, I just talked about the quarterback club, and I usually have some bumper music that I use. You want me to start with...
Are you going
to
date me right now, Wayne?
Well, I'm going to play a song from when you were a little... Not a little. When you were a boy in high school. And let's see which one I want to play. Well, I can't help it. I have to play the number one song in all of 1982.
John Jett.
You betcha. Can you name that tune?
I do know it's Joan Jett.
I love
rock and roll.
Yeah. It's a great song, isn't it?
It is.
Well, the reason I asked you if you had talked to Larry is because I don't know if you know the format of this show, but it's all about you. Where you were born, all the little details, and that's what my goal is to learn all about you and have a lot of fun doing it and bringing back memories for you. And let's start off with, where were you born?
I was born in Richfield, Minnesota. Well, actually born in Minneapolis, but grew up and lived my whole until I graduated from high school in Richfield.
Now, how about your siblings? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have three brothers.
Who's the oldest?
I am.
Okay, and then after you?
I have a brother named Todd, and then I have twin brothers, Tyson and Trent, that are 5 years younger than me.
Tyson and Trent.
And Trent, all four T's.
Okay, and I was going to ask you, how much younger is Todd?
Two.
Okay, and then how about the twins?
They're 5 years younger than me.
Okay, so you kind of, if anything, hung around more with Todd than...
Yeah,
than
I would say I maybe... maybe broke in mom and dad a little bit for them. I'm extremely fortunate. All three of them are fantastic and help me out all the time.
What about, are they identical twins?
They are. They are, and they're pushing close to 50 now, and still a ton of resemblance between the two.
50?
Yes.
And they're younger than you?
Yeah, they are.
Well,
unfortunately, that dates me a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
You don't appear to be almost 60.
I'm almost 55.
Okay. So did they ever play little games, since they were identical twins, that you recall that they did with dating or school or athletics or anything?
No, not a ton. The one thing that I do remember and still to this day amazes me is how... close they are, and how they really know each other. Like I think anytime you're a family, you know your siblings pretty well for the most part. But those two, I swear, if one gets hurt and he's three states away, the other one knows. They're very intuitive with each other, and it's been. You know, I've watched it growing up, and it's a really neat. Thing, a really neat relationship for those two, for sure.
Well, now, when you got to be around 14, let's say, were you the guy that babysat your little brothers, Todd, Tyson, and Trent?
Well, I think I was assigned to do that. I don't know how much of that I actually did. They probably babysat me more than I babysat them.
Oh, sure. What about Mom and Dad? Were they working parents?
They were. My father ran a millwork for years. He passed away a couple of years ago, and my mother still lives in the same house we grew up in. They bought it brand new. She's been the only owner of that house, only house she's ever owned. She grew up in a small town in Iowa and moved up to the city. She was an RN for a little while, but then with the four boys, the schedule, the three different shifts with an RN, that didn't work out. So she worked for Fairview Southdale as a lab tech for 40 years.
Wow.
Right by the house, right over there on Crosstown in France. So she only worked about a mile from the house and was around all the time for us. And my father worked and ran a millwork. We were very fortunate as kids.
When you say millwork,
windows, trim. They did a lot of custom work for houses. Custom doors, custom windows, custom trim. All of the stuff besides the actual structure. The lumber, the 2x4s, they didn't handle any of that, but all of the doors, the windows, the trim, anything like that.
Would he design them, or would people say, here's what I'm visualizing, I want a 9-foot door, or whatever?
They had salespeople that went out and would come back with the designs, and then the team there would put it into action, and I actually worked there for a couple of summers for him, just unloading trucks, and it's amazing. There's a real art and a craft to that, for sure.
That's what I was thinking. If somebody, let's assume it's a very wealthy individual, and they want these special doors or windows, and they have this idea, and the salesman works with them, and they come back with a sketch, and they say, we want these custom made with initials on the door or whatever, and they get all done, and then they say, well, that isn't what I described. What did he ever tell you about anything
like
that?
They, from my recollection, they kept the people in the process quite well. The salespeople would come back, and then they'd do the drawings up at the millwork, and then the salesperson would bring it back out, and they kept in pretty good contact with the customer to make sure they were delivering what they wanted.
Is that do you work with a lathe in that business? Did I say that right?
Yes, okay. They did. Unfortunately, or for me, I never really got overly involved with it. My dad was so skilled with all of that stuff that I just kind of was, you know, he'd tell me what needed to be done or what they built a cabin when I was 5 years old. My mom and dad did, and my dad built it from the ground up, did everything.
Rainy Lake?
No. Okay. McGregor, Minnesota.
Oh,
Lake Minnewama.
Yeah. Right across from the CYC camp?
Real close.
Yeah.
Real close. And so I you know, when you have a father who's as skilled as it is, he is. One of my twin brothers is pretty darn good with the stuff. He was smart enough to learn from my dad, where I was just took orders.
You're like me, or definitely. Does your dad? He passed away recently, but did he have all of his digits?
He did. He did. He was. I do remember though. One time he came home from work and he had a nail stuck through his finger.
Ow!
And he came home, and my mother, being in the medical business, she pulled the nail, and I was looking at it. I almost passed out.
Yeah.
But that's part of that business. A little bit, you have to be careful.
You mentioned that sometimes you would bike over to the old Met Center and sneak in, which is just nowadays kids can't do that unless they have a smartphone they can fix to cheat on the ticket. But what kind of a bike were you riding when you were out?
I had an old Schwinn bike. Interesting story about bikes a little bit.
Take your time.
Grew up right by Penn Cycle. And they became good friends of ours. But I was a teammate in hockey of Eric Saltvold, who is now Eric the Bike Man, who owns all the different bike shops. All over Minneapolis. And Eric and I grew up together. We're the same age, graduated from high school together, played on the same hockey team for probably, I don't know, 6-8 years together. Interesting to watch Eric's success, and obviously an extremely successful businessman now.
And, of course, you rode a Schwinn.
I did ride a Schwinn.
What color was that?
I want to say it was red.
Do you remember if you got it as a gift, or did you save for it?
I had a paper out when I was a kid, and with most of the things in our family, we paid half, and then Mom and Dad paid half.
Okay.
That was kind of how they, if you wanted something and you wanted it bad enough, then obviously you could contribute to that.
How many carries did you have customers on your paper route?
I did what was called a weekly route. I didn't do a daily route. I did a once-a-week route.
Oh.
And we had 400.
Was that like a shopper type
thing?
Yeah,
it was like a shopper type thing.
400?
400.
Well, you didn't have all 400.
Me and my brother did all 400 every week.
Wow.
My brother Todd and I did. It had to be done by Tuesday night, I remember it. And, you know, Mondays, get home from school and out you'd go. Or during the summer, obviously, we'd try and get them done as early as we could in the morning. But, yeah, we had 400. Homes to deliver to.
Now, did you have a drop-off area?
They dropped them off right in our driveway.
Okay.
And then we'd take them from there. Had to fold them up and put them in our mailbag or in our newspaper bags, and away we'd go.
Did you ever throw them?
No. Okay. No. Maybe toss them a little bit, but it wasn't where you could stand out on the street and throw them by any means.
When I was a paper boy, that was the thing to do, is to, before you left the, we had a little cubby, a shack, and we'd fold them first, and then go out and we just throw them up on the doorstep or whatever.
Yeah.
Big tippers, you might have, you know, put it between the doors. But did you have a boundary? Like, was your house right in the middle of everything?
Yeah.
How many blocks east, west, north, south did you go?
We went, and people can relate to this a little bit if you know the cities at all, but we had from Penn Avenue down to 35W. And from 68th to 66th, so we had a 3-block wide, and then down from Penn to 35W.
And once a week. So you didn't get involved and established with your customers because you didn't have to collect or do anything like that.
No, we had no collection, and we never, you know, you'd see your customers every once in a while, but it wasn't on a daily basis by any means, and never had to collect anything, which was nice.
What was your worst delivery? Your memory says it was snowing and 20 below zero, and I couldn't walk in so deep. What, a big rain shower, thunderstorms?
The memory that I have of the worst was a German Shepherd that actually got me, and I wasn't all that old yet, and one of the homes had a German Shepherd, and he bit me. It was the only time that I got bit on my paper.
Where'd he bite you?
He bit me in the leg, bit me in the calf. He came out, and I probably, you know, panicked a little bit when the dog might have been as big as me at the time, and he did bite me. That's the one bad memory I have of that.
And of course today, before you went to the doctor or the hospital, you'd call a lawyer.
Yeah, there was no calling a lawyer. I never even went to that. I went home, and again, my mother, being in the business, looked at it and said, you're fine, and away I went.
That's terrifying, though, when a big dog comes at you, isn't it?
Well, when you're, I think I was probably 9 years old, maybe 10 years old, and it was my first experience. We never had a dog. It was my first experience with a dog coming after me, and you learn a little bit, and you know, I remember my father saying, "Did you panic?" And I said, "Well, kind of." He said, "That's why he bit you."
I can remember. Dogs on my paper out, and you know, they smell fear.
They do.
It's amazing.
They do.
And I mean, nowadays people with diabetes have dogs that can smell and tell when your blood sugar level is too high or too low.
Right.
Amazing animals.
Yeah.
But I remember just quivering when I delivered. Did you avoid that house the rest of the...
I actually didn't, because when the dog bit me, the owner was yelling at the dog, and the owner actually witnessed it, and the owner, you know, brought the dog over to me and had a hold of the dog after it bit me, and the owner said, "Once he knows who you are, you'll be fine." And I said,
"Did you
really
believe him?"
I, you know, at the time, no, not at all. But you know, over time, I did. And you know, that dog, he never even barked when I came to the house after that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, they are very intuitive. There is no question. Dogs are very intelligent.
So, what grade school do you go to in Richfield?
I went to Sheridan Elementary.
Was that 1 through 6?
It was 1 through 6 at the time, and then we had a junior high that was 7 through 9.
Okay.
And then I actually, at that time, Richfield was a big community, numbers-wise, and I graduated with 610
students
in my graduating class.
Almost like university.
It was a big high school.
It's hard to establish yourself among 600-plus peers.
Yeah, you know, though, I think when you grow up in that environment, my grade school was big. There was, we had three or four classes in first grade, second grade, mm-hmm. So we had quite a few kids even in grade school, and then you go to the junior high where they combined, I think it was four elementaries.
Did you take the school bus?
I took the school bus to grade school, walked to junior high. Junior high was closer, and then school bus to high school until I was old enough to drive.
Yeah. I bet you that when you were, you take the bus to grade school, and then you get to walk to your middle school, and then when you have to get back on the bus to go to high school and meet all of these upperclassmen, that's kind of a scary situation. Number one, you're embarrassed because you have to ride the bus, I would assume.
Well, yeah, when I was in 10th grade, I had to ride the bus for a little bit. But, one of the things there when Richfield at the time was an unbelievable community. A lot of blue-collar parents that really held their kids to a standard, let's say. And so I was very fortunate growing up. Grew up with a lot of great people and really gave me a good foundation, I think, for life.
My guest this morning is Troy Judding. Troy is the general manager of Apple Chevrolet Buick here in Northfield, Minnesota. We'll take a brief break and be back in a flash.
Heating and Air Conditioning in Eagan is a customer-focused company that employs highly trained people whose goal is to be the best service company in the 13-county metro area. When you deal with Wenzel HVAC, you can expect a positive working environment, practical advice and suggestions, flexible payment options, cutting-edge technology, headache-free maintenance, a dedication to service, and technical excellence. Serving the South Metro, Wenzel HVAC in Eagan. Call 651-894-9898.
Number two in all of 1982.
I just don't know who did it.
What's the name of it? I'll give you a hint. I know the name of the song.
Rising Up.
Rising up, back on the street. Did my time.
Should know it from Rocky, but I don't.
I'll help you.
Well, the distance, now I'm back.
Survivor.
Survivor.
And it's called The Eye
of the Tiger.
Yeah.
So many times.
A little bit breezy out there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota. 95.1 FM, the one, and of course almost 50 years on the air with 1080 AM. And we have plenty of sunshine, an interesting guest in studio with me. He is the general manager of Apple Chevrolet Buick, located on Highway 3 South Northfield, with their own individual car wash that's available 24/7. Right?
Yes.
All right. How's that for a nice plug?
We appreciate that.
You betcha. Your mom is from Iowa. What town in Iowa?
A little town called Garnavillo, Iowa.
Gynaville?
Garnavillo.
Garnavillo.
Yes.
Garnavillo.
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's over by the river, not too far from Prairie du Chien, north of Dubuque, Elkader area. I would say, in describing it, probably about halfway down Iowa, north and south, and maybe 5 miles, 10 miles off the river.
Okay. Did you have a tradition to go to grandma's for Thanksgiving or for Christmas?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time down there. All of my mother's siblings still live in that area.
Your aunts and uncles?
All my aunts and uncles.
And your cousins?
And all my cousins. Most of them still live in that area, so we still get down there. I don't get down there as much as I should, but it's a beautiful area. I have a couple of uncles that are farmers down there, and It's really that whole river valley, as the people from Minnesota know, and the people from Iowa, is a beautiful area.
A lot of hills in that area?
It's a hilly area.
Yeah.
Gorgeous farmland, and not overly populated by any means. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I graduated with 610. I think my mom graduated with 13 in her graduating class, so a little bit different. But it is a beautiful community.
What did your grandpa on your mom's side do?
My grandfather was a construction, built homes, and my grandmother did not work. They were fortunate that I could still drive right to their house, I think.
What about your grandparents on your dad's side?
I never knew my grandfather. He had passed away before I was born.
He must have been pretty young.
My father was young compared to his siblings. But my grandmother was around. She actually lived with us until I was 5 years old. That's when she passed away. So I don't have a lot of recollection of my grandparents on my father's side.
No cousins, aunts and uncles?
I do have cousins and aunts and uncles from that side. As a matter of fact, one of my cousins owns the cabin next door to ours.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, get to see them quite a bit.
I was just thinking, I don't know why, but I have cousins on my father's side, and we're not that close. You know, last time I saw him was 4 years ago, I think. But their last name is Zekman. I know one of them for sure is very successful. He has a home in a community up in the cities that those homes are pretty expensive. But anyhow, and a good golfer. And I was just thinking the other day, I should give him a call and maybe get together along with his sisters and brothers, because it's been a while. And we do share the same grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother came from County Clare, Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and spoke Gaelic.
Gotcha.
And so it was fun on that side, but I'm more closely connected to my mother's side because my mom was one of three girls about a year apart. So they start popping out kids and my cousins. So.
Right.
And it's fun to be close to family, isn't it?
It is. I would say I'm very similar in that I'm closer to my mother's side. My father's side was much older. My father was an uncle, I want to say, six times when he was born. So there were actually his siblings had kids before he was born, even. So I'm not as close to that side of the family, but very close to my mother's side, and always have been. And I think it's a great thing.
Now, you mentioned that growing up, played hockey, and Eric, the guy that has the bicycle business, doing very well, several locations, your close buddy, and you went through elementary school and middle school and high school playing hockey?
I did. I was fortunate, got to play hockey, football, and baseball all the way from when you could start playing all the way through high school. So, and then continued on and played hockey in college as well.
Wow. What about that football career? Did that start in elementary school, like Pee Wee League, whatever they call it?
Yep, it started with flag football, and I don't know how old I was. I know I was young, but very fortunate at that time. Richfield had a real strong football program, and got to play all the way through my senior year in high school, and had pretty good teams as well, so it was very enjoyable.
So the grade school level, where would you what opponents would you play before middle school, for example?
The other grade schools. There was eight grade schools in Richfield time, and so we had a full-blown league.
Was yours dominant?
I was not at one of the grade schools that was dominant. I was fortunate that when we came together in middle school, got to play with a lot of great players and got to have some success in middle school and then throughout high school.
Okay, so now you go to high school as a 10th grader.
Yeah.
Had they ever played anybody out of the middle school on the A squad?
No. Even as a 10th grader, back in that era, There was maybe one or two 10th graders that would play every 5-6 years. I mean, you had to be. I was fortunate. When I was a senior, four of the seniors on my team went to the University of Minnesota to play football.
Oh, cool. So one of the questions that I like to ask, and I'll give you an opportunity to think about it, in football, what position did you play on the high school level?
I played quarterback in the high school
level. Oh, you were the man.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that, but that was the position I played.
Was it a passing or a running offense?
We were a real strong defensive. I was extremely lucky. I played with a lot of really good players, and three of the four guys I mentioned that played at the University of Minnesota were defender, played on defense, and we were a real strong defensive team. So we protected the ball. We didn't want to, you know, if we knew our defense could shut them down if we didn't give the offense any great chances. And so we threw a little bit but ran a lot.
Well, Troy, I asked this question of all my guests, and I'm going to take a break, and you can think about it. And you've got one, and that's one memory, something you'll never forget while you were playing football for Richfield in high school. And you were the quarterback. So you think about that one play that you'll never forget that's fun to relive in your heart and mind, but generally it's never shared, but you can share it with us. We'll be right back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN.
If you need to send a box far away or something overnight, want a cool sign for your business or a banner for your birthday, and you don't know how to do it, we'll help you through it at the Graphic Mailbox. You can make copies, get supplies, find a box, ship a box, buy stamps, fax a letter, get your mail, send your mail, make a sign, design a sign, fix a sticker, print a poster, FedEx, DHL, UPS, Speedy, or even through the U.S. mail. If you don't know how to do it, we'll help you through it at the Graphic Mailbox.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
The number three song in all of 1982, the year my guest, Troy Judding, graduated from Richfield High School. I turned it down a little bit because they were singing the title.
Ebony and Ivory.
Right, do you remember who did it?
Keyboard, oh Lord, why don't we?
I don't. I'm not a huge music guy. And I know it's going to be easy.
One of them is an ex-Beatle. Singing right now. I'll help you. Paul
McCartney.
And Stevie
Nicks.
No,
Stevie Nicks. Wonder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ebony and Ivory, the number three song in all of 1982, the year my guest graduated from Richfield High School. He was a quarterback for the Richfield, what are your nicknames?
Spartans.
Spartans?
Yes.
Okay. So he was, Troy, quarterback for the Richfield Spartans, and I asked him before the break to come up with that one play you'll never forget.
Well, maybe more so than a play, it was a game. We played Burnsville when I was a senior, and at the time they were the number one ranked team in the state, and we were number two. And it was at Burnsville. We got there for warm-ups, and the place was already full. They were already turning people away. And we ended up winning the game in overtime. It was 14-14, and back then, and maybe they still do this now, but in overtime you started on the 10-yard line. Each team got a chance from the 10-yard line, and we got the ball first, and we scored a touchdown.
How?
We ran it in.
Hand off from you?
Hand off, and yeah, I didn't run it in. The running back ran it in, and I remember coming off the field, And the coach, you know, grabbing me and saying, okay, we got to get ready for the next series. And I remember saying, there ain't going to be a next series. And first play they fumbled and we recovered and won the football game. That's probably the best memory I have of high school football.
What was your longest completion?
Oh, I don't know. You tested me. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it was fun, don't you?
Well, yeah, I loved it. High school, you know, maybe not so much the individual plays, but the Friday nights and the teammates and just what it all meant was probably the thing for me. I still enjoy it. I still sneak out. I got a friend who coaches at Minnetonka High School, so I still sneak out to a few of their games every once in a while and watch.
I have a connection to Minnetonka and its football program.
You do?
I do. I even have a shirt, and it says Minnetonka on it.
Yeah.
And people say, why are you wearing that shirt? And I said, well, the coach gave it to me. And, well, what's your connection? Well, they had a fundraiser, and after a golf tournament, they had a live auction, and I did the live auction.
Oh, okay.
And they were trying to build a bubble.
Yes.
At that, so that's yes. How long ago it was.
Yes.
And they did get the bubble built. Can mm-hmm. you say that fast three times? They did get the bubble built, boys. So Troy is my guest on KYMN, Troy Judding, and we're reliving some of the things that he did in high school. Right now he is commuting from Savage to Northfield as the GM of Apple Chevrolet Buick at 5 minutes before 11 o'clock. We do have one more break before the 10 o'clock news, and we'll be back in a flash in just a moment.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the Buffalo Rotisserie Style Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a rallying cry, please.
Coming right up.
Crusaders of flavor! Ahead lies the bold and spicy Buffalo Rotisserie Style Chicken Signature Wrap. There may come a day when you wish for bland flavor, but it is not this day. This day, we feast! Go forth to Subway and make it what you want! Limited time at participating shops.
Hi, I'm April Kopak, manager at Three Links Apartments in Northfield. We are an active, independent community of older adults and disabled individuals. Our spacious one-bedroom apartments feature controlled key access, off-street parking, and are handicap accessible. This is a place to call home, make new friends, and participate in many activities and exercises. Tours are welcome. Please call Three Links Apartments at 664-8850 or find out more at threelinks.org.
Number four.
Angel is a centerfold.
Pardon me?
Angel is a centerfold.
It is a J. Giles band.
J. Giles band.
And centerfold.
Yes.
Are they singing about a playmate?
I'm not going to go down that road.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't either.
It's 4 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning is Troy Judding. And, Troy, did you play baseball, too?
I did play baseball.
How far?
I played through my high school years. Again, very fortunate to play on a very good baseball team as well.
So how did you what was your highest achievement in regards to the team at Richfield for football?
My sophomore year we lost in the state championship. My junior year, and this was back before they had the playoff system. You had to win your league and, you know, to get in. And my junior year we lost one football game, and that was to Burnsville, and they won the state championship. And then my senior year we lost one game, and that was to Edina, and they lost in the state semifinals. So lost three games in 3 years of high school football, and two of those were to the eventual state champions.
Yeah, it seems like the Vikings do that nowadays.
Yeah, I like their team this year, though. I think if they can figure out that offensive line and get healthy there and shore that up a bit, I think they have a very good chance to be successful this year.
And I certainly hope so. So did you start off with T-ball and then all the way up
through? T-ball and all the way through, yep.
What position?
Played a little bit of catcher and first base. were the two positions I played in baseball.
And your preference?
I really liked catching. You were one of the things I, you know, I enjoyed football and hockey a lot, and I liked baseball. Baseball was not a love of mine, just being honest, just because it was a little slow for me. But I liked catcher because you were involved all the time and in the action versus standing out in the outfield waiting for a fly ball to come to you. I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed baseball because of my teammates, and it wasn't my favorite sport.
Well, I came up, you know, ideas pop up in my head all the time, and sometimes they're already been done and all that, and I thought it would be interesting to ask the below-average baseball fan who throws the ball more than anybody on the 9-member team.
Catcher.
Yeah.
Catcher for sure, and that's why I really enjoyed it. I you know, got some of those hot summer nights with all that gear on, got a little bit warm, but I did enjoy that position because you were always active.
How well did your team do in baseball?
We had a very good baseball team. When I got to high school, you played, you know, school ball during the year, and then you had Legion ball in the summer, and our Legion team, actually, you had to finish in first or second in the state to move on to the regionals for Legion ball. And in my junior and senior year, we finished, won the Legion 1 year and finished second 1 year. So got to move on to the regions, 1 year in St. Louis and 1 year in Cincinnati. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah. Was the high school coach connected to that Legion team in any way?
Yes, he was. The high school coach, Brian Kispert, was his name. He also coached football, was an assistant coach in football there, and then helped out a little bit with the Legion team. But we had a family named the Carnesses in Richfield that were a huge baseball family and had success in a lot of different areas, and the Carnesses, one of the Carnesses was our coach in Legion ball.
We're going to take a break for the news. By the way, who was your football coach?
Dick Walker.
Okay.
Hall of Fame, I believe, high school Hall of Fame football coach.
The reason I asked that, a lot of educators, coaches, etc., listen to KYMN radio, and boy, they can pick up right away, like, well, I know him. We used to.
If they were around in that, everybody would know Dick Walker, anybody who was around high school football at that time.
I have to identify the station by law within 5 minutes before the hour and 5 minutes after the hour, unless there's a presidential speech or a Philharmonic Orchestra performing. So here we go. This is KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial and 95.1 FM, the one.
McCain arrangements, church controversy. I'm John Trout. The governor of Arizona, Republican Doug Ducey, says he won't be naming a replacement for Senator John McCain until after his burial next Sunday. Political observers have been suggesting possible appointees, including the senator's wife, Cindy McCain. John McCain died Saturday at the age of 81.
On what would have been his 82nd birthday, Wednesday, John McCain will lie in state in the Arizona State Capitol. A funeral for Arizonans to honor the man who represented them more than 40 years in Washington will be held Thursday, with one-time Senate colleague, former Vice President Joe Biden, set to speak there. On Friday, McCain's body will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. Saturday, a funeral procession will take the casket past the Vietnam Veterans Memorial and to the National Cathedral for a service. Barack Obama and George W. Bush are among those who deliver words of praise. McCain did not warn President Trump at any ceremony, and Vice President Pence is expected to speak. Final funeral services will be held Sunday in Annapolis with a private burial at the Naval Academy Cemetery. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Wall Street's opening bell a short time ago. Briefly delayed this morning to honor John McCain's service to America. Stocks pushing higher at this hour on news the U.S. and Mexico may be close to a deal on NAFTA. A former archbishop has called on Pope Francis to resign.
In a lengthy statement dated August 22nd, former archbishop and Vatican ambassador to Washington, Carlo Maria Vigano, wrote that Pope Francis knew from at least June 23rd, 2013, quote, that McCarrick was a serial predator. And Vigano says the Pope covered McCarrick to the bitter end. Speaking to reporters on the flight back to Italy, Pope Francis said that people should read Vigano's statement carefully and make their own judgment. The Pope telling the press he would not say a single word on this, although he added that he may speak after some time passes. I'm Andrew Spencer.
Still no motive in the Jacksonville, Florida shootings yesterday. Three people killed, including the gunman. I'm John Trout.
Live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio on a beautiful Monday morning. It is August 27th and the year is 2018, and that means next Monday is Labor Day, and that also means a week from Wednesday will be the kickoff to the Defeat of Jesse James Day celebration, and there'll be a ceremony at the Northfield Cemetery, and then that evening Lois and Noel Stratmon will be honored as the recipient of Northfield's most prestigious honor, and that is the Joseph Lee Haywood Recognition Banquet. And tickets are available, and you could go and enjoy a wonderful meal, an auction, and a drawing. Plus, of course, Noel and Lois Stratmon and their friends will be front and center as he is and she is recognized as big time in Northfield, Minnesota. We are at, what are we at? We are at 10:03. Actually, I got the exact time here. It's 10:05:10 on KYMN 1080 Radio. My guest this morning is Troy Judding, and Troy is the general manager of Apple Chevrolet Buick on Highway 3 South Northfield. And we're talking about his high school years and being on the baseball team as a catcher and being on the football team as a quarterback, and we'll talk hockey in a moment. But do you believe what coaches say, that when you are on a team, you can learn to work with people and also be a leader?
I firmly believe that. I think anybody who's involved in a team environment, especially as a kid growing up, I think you learn a lot. You learn a lot about being a member of a team and the time management that it takes to do school and to be a part in to take part in athletics, leadership, all of the things that there's a lot of things that I think carry through in life that athletics can help prepare you for.
Now, did your brothers that followed you, Todd, 2 years younger, and Tyson and Trent, 5 years younger, your twin brothers, did they follow their big brother in regards to being athletic or participating?
Yes, they all played. My three younger brothers did not play baseball, and I feel bad. Maybe that was some of my influence because, as I mentioned earlier, it wasn't a sport I loved. But all three of them played football and hockey all the way through high school as well.
So is your main love hockey?
It's a toss-up between football and hockey. I really enjoy both sports and always have since the day I started playing them as a little kid.
What was it like financially to be a hockey player in Richfield?
Well, and not just a hockey player, but four hockey players in Richfield. I give my parents all the credit in the world. Wherever it came from, it never seemed like that was an issue for us. And I know that, my parents, while they did well, they were not extremely wealthy people, but they managed to make it work for us all the time, and so I'm very grateful.
So when you're a catcher, you're in a leadership role. You kind of work with you do work with the pitcher and kind of keep him or her, nowadays her, calm. And when you're the quarterback of a football team, you run the show. So were you a goalie?
I was not.
What is a leadership role on a hockey team?
A goalie, that's a whole different position. It still amazes me that people enjoy getting stuff shot at them 100 miles an hour. But obviously a very critical position to every hockey team. And a goaltender can make or break your hockey team, no question about it. I think in terms of leadership in hockey, it's any position, just like any sport, can be a leader, no question about it. In hockey, maybe, a pitcher kind of dictates the tempo of the game. A quarterback dictates the tempo of the game. In hockey, I don't know that there is a position that dictates the tempo of the game so much.
Oh, do high schools have goons?
No. They didn't, and I don't think they still do. And I think hockey nowadays has really gotten away from it. They're the old days of the enforcer where they'd fight quite often. You don't see much of that anymore. I think hockey's done a great job in trying to clean some of that up. And football's cleaning up some of the dangerous stuff, too. It'll be interesting this year with some of the new rules, how that's going to affect the game.
I remember the first time I heard this, and I had to pause a second. Hey, I was at a fight and a hockey game broke out. You've heard that a million times.
Yeah, I think back in the old days, well, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, it was definitely a part of the game. Some of those teams in Boston and Philadelphia, and that's what they did. They just intimidated the other team right out of the rink. Nowadays, it's not like that.
So you were a kid when the Vikings went to 4 Super Bowls.
Yes.
And I imagine you stayed home and watched the game with the family.
I did.
As a young boy, I was at all 4 of them, and I lost money because we'd get together with other reporters that were there. We'd exchange business cards and had a $10 bet on who would win. Mm-hmm. And I lost every year, and I always sent them a check. I always wondered if they would have honored what we had going, because it was party time, too.
Right.
But disappointing, I suppose, watching the game as a kid.
Yeah, obviously when you're a kid growing up, you want the team that you root for to win. But I look back on it and would have been great for them to win. But back in that era, got to watch a lot of great football and always, had a pretty good football team to cheer for.
Your play that you'll never forget in hockey that you were involved in almost a starter for the hockey team?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you get to a certain time in your life, you appreciate the relationships. Still have a lot of great friends from my high school hockey team and from my college hockey team, some of my best friends.
But didn't you score a goal or block a goal or, do an open net, something that you'll never forget you did as a hockey player?
Well, scored a few goals, but I guess I don't have one specific moment that sticks out.
Oh.
As a player, I think, again, what Now where I'm at in life, and the things that stick out are the great people that I was fortunate enough to have around me and help me, and the great friends I have from it.
It is 10:11 on 1080 Radio KYMN. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Troy Judding. You mentioned college. Now, you were a catcher. You were a you didn't do basketball, evidently.
No, I did not.
But a hockey player and quarterback for your football team. Did you get any offers to go to maybe a Division III, II, or I?
In football, I had an opportunity to go on at the Division III level. I had an opportunity to go and play in college. But at that time, one of the things, you had talked earlier about football and hockey, and I love both of them. The thing, I guess, with hockey as a player, I enjoyed practices a lot more than football practices.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed the game nights in football like no other, but I always enjoyed skating, and practice seemed like fun in hockey as well because of it.
So what... ended up in regards to college?
Well, I ended up going to Mankato and playing at now Minnesota State. Back then it was Mankato State. Played 4 years there and very fortunate again. Got to play in 3 national tournaments in my 4 years. Got to play under a gentleman named Don Brose, who was a absolutely fantastic coach. Spent many, I want to say around 30 years as the head coach at Mankato. I got to play for him, and then fortunately got to come back and coach with him as well. So really enjoyed my time.
So at Mankato State, what did you major in at University of Minnesota Mankato?
I got my degree in finance and marketing, my undergraduate degree, and then got my master's in sport administration.
Oh, sports administration.
Yeah, it's part of the business program, but emphasis in sport management.
Were you thinking of going into coaching? Or
At the time, when I went back to get my master's, I intended to get my master's in business and go back to work in business, but I went back as a graduate assistant for the hockey program and spent 2 years as a graduate assistant, got my master's, and then was fortunate enough to be hired on as an assistant, full-time assistant coach in hockey at that point.
What year would that have been?
Oh, boy, you're testing me now. I graduated in the 80s. It would have been right around 1990 when I first started there, and I ended up coaching there for 24 years.
For 24 years, you were a coach.
Mm-hmm.
At Mankato, University of Minnesota at Mankato, and today you're a GM for Apple Chevrolet Buick here in Northfield.
Yes.
And that's a transition, but I believe that the owners of Apple are very team-oriented.
They are.
I got that impression.
They are. Our owners are the Gulbranson family. And they are very much team-orientated and very much about their customers and their employees. It's been, you never know. I ended up actually coaching in college for almost 27 years. It was a big transition, big switch, and got to spend some time looking into it. And what was most important to me at the time was the people that I was going to be working with, and have enjoyed every second of it. They're a great family, and the people that I get to work with that also are a part of running the Apple Auto Group are fantastic people.
I'm going to go back to college before your master's. Did you actually play football for Mankato?
No, I played hockey for Mankato. I did not play football in college.
Were you offered a scholarship of any sort? Of course, you can get scholarships at Mankato, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get it. Well, now in hockey, they're a Division I program, and they have a full complement of scholarships. Back then, we had some scholarship money. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't big. But I did receive a little bit of money back then. As the time has gone on, the program has grown and grown and grown. And
now, did you
successful.
Live in Gage Hall?
I did. I lived my freshman year in Gage in the B-side. And since now, I believe it's torn down. Now I haven't been back. I know it's been torn down, but I did. I lived my freshman year in Gage.
Did you party down at Mankato, downtown?
If my mother is listening, no, I did not, but if she's not, yeah, I enjoyed the town of Mankato. It's a great place.
Did you get involved at all with the Vikings training camp?
I did not, but I had a couple of players that I coached while I was there, one being Chad Lundin, who I believe is still working for the Vikings and has moved up the ladder with the Vikings, an absolutely incredible kid who spent time doing it initially as an internship with the Vikings, and then they hired him on after he graduated and is still with them now.
How about Jeff Diamond? Did you get to know him?
I did not get. I know Jeff, but not very well.
That's the way he started.
Yes.
Helping the media.
A lot of people do. A lot of people get their start. I was watching the replay of the Vikings game last night, and they were talking about the one coach who he's from Eden Prairie, and was a quarterback at Eden Prairie, actually, and he started just helping out around the office, and now he's coaching the tight ends now. I want to say he was the offensive coordinator.
For the Vikes?
Yes. I want to say he was the offensive coordinator.
Have you been to their new place?
I have not been to the new place. I've had
Were you kind of hurt when they moved out?
You know, yes and no. Time moves on, and when, you know, the newer than that stadium, from what I've heard, is absolutely incredible. I have not had the chance to get there yet, but I think any time, you know, you get a chance to make things new and nice and better for the fans and for the players, it's a good thing.
Well, I haven't been there yet myself, but I like the idea that they are going to allow the high school games there, and I think the first one is going to be within a couple, 3 weeks. And it'll be Farmington versus I don't know who, but Farmington will be the first and the other team to play at the Viking Stadium. I think that's pretty exciting.
It is. I think it's a great thing that they're doing. Kids get exposure to a whole different level of play, and not necessarily of play, but a whole different atmosphere. And again, I think it's one of the great things that sport offers kids is the different opportunities that arise and how you handle them. And somewhere along the road, down the line, you're going to run across it again in life, and hopefully it's prepared you a little bit.
The Tigers, and that game will be broadcast with Ned Newberg through KYMN Radio. So he's excited about that.
It'll be, I'm sure, an exciting event for that community.
It is 19 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Monday morning. Today is the 27th day of August in the year is 2018. It's breezy and sunny and a beautiful day. My guest this morning is Troy Jutting. How does Jutting, when I saw your name, I'm going, Jutting, what? It seems like it isn't a name.
German.
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 Okay.
100% German, actually.
Did you trace it back?
My family has traced it back. Yes.
And what did you learn?
Well, I don't think any of the bad stuff. My father's parents were actually born in Germany and came over from Germany, so I...
So you're third generation.
I am.
So, have you been there?
I've been to Germany a couple of different occasions with hockey teams. So
with hockey teams?
Yes. So I have had a chance to get around there a little bit, not as much as I would like.
What city?
I've been in Munich, and I've been in a town called Garmisch. Garmisch is a beautiful community. I would categorized as like a ski community, like a Vale or in Germany. Absolutely beautiful town. A couple of my former players played professionally there in Garmisch, and I got a chance to go over and visit them a little bit. And
did you drive the Autobahn?
I did not. I did not.
Did you,
I am not
were you a
speed
passenger?
Guy. No. I did take the train system over there, which is quite unique.
Oh, yeah. I wish they had that kind of service in Minnesota. And I know they're trying to build a line from the Twin Cities down to Rochester. And there are farmers that are protesting that because they'd have to take some of their cropland.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking about that, I don't think this will be of interest to you, Troy, but yesterday my wife and I were on County Road 47. And I was looking at the beans and the corn. And there was, some farmers will be interested in this, there was some corn that I don't think was 3 feet high, and it was all mangled. And, I mean, a big field on 47, probably before 86. And then I came across not only that, but then stunted corn. Then some corn that was yellow halfway up and then green, and I'm looking and I'm going, wow, I wish my buddy Bob Winter, a farmer, was with me so he could tell me what was going on there. But I think maybe a hailstorm or something must have hit that one plot.
Yeah, I'm not versed in that, obviously, yeah. But it sounds like hail or water, a lot of water at some point in time, and maybe this spring with some of them rains, some of those fields were a little low, and that would be the only thing that I could come up with.
Well, tell me more, if you will, about your coaching career. You said 27 years and traveling worldwide. That's pretty impressive.
It was, I was very fortunate, and it was a very enjoyable experience for me. I spent 10 years as an 10 years as an assistant coach at Mankato under Don Brose, and then I spent 12 years as the head coach there.
Head coach?
Head coach after Don retired. And then I spent my last 4 years coaching at Nebraska Omaha in college. So I'm very fortunate I got to spend 26, 27 years in coaching business. And those of you that are familiar with it know that normally you move every couple years when you're in the college coaching business. I did 27 years in two cities, so I was very fortunate that way.
What year were you coach at Mankato?
I was the head coach there from 2000. Jeez, now you're testing me again here. Spent 10 years around 2000 to 2012, somewhere 99 to 2011.
Okay. I did an auction for Mankato hockey program in St. Paul. I think it was. And it was a fundraiser. Wouldn't it be funny if you were you weren't the coach there. The guy that I remember was shorter than you and kind of like Fleck, you know, just really. You're just a nice, calm guy. You know, I can't picture you being a coach. I mean, did you ever yell at anybody?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I did. That happens, I think, in coaching. And I think as you get older, your maturity, maybe I would like to think it's maturity has kicked in and maybe a little calmer with certain situations.
So that trip to Germany, what was that for?
I've been there a couple of different times. One of the times was to coach a U.S. hockey team, the U.S. under 16 team. And then another time was to go over and watch a couple of my former players, that were playing professionally in Germany and then also do a little recruiting, while I was there.
Recruiting?
Yeah.
German? Population for Mankato?
Yeah, they're, recruits are all over the world, and you got to go where they are. And a couple of my former players, as I mentioned, knew of a younger kid in town that they thought was a pretty good hockey player. And unfortunately, he was a little bit too good. I think we had him coming, and then one of the professional teams over there offered him a contract, and he decided to sign professionally instead of come and play college hockey.
Who's the most famous hockey player that you've ever had a beer with or a cup of coffee or a pat on the back or a handshake?
Well, I got the great honor of coaching David Backes, who was a captain of the St. Louis Blues for six, seven years. But I know a lot of the different players just throughout the years of coaching in the WCHA. You got to meet a lot of great players, so a lot of great people.
Who's the guy that is a promoter now for the University of Minnesota, and he played for the North Stars, and he did some radio, and his name hasn't come to me, but he and I were kind of like rookies covering the Minnesota Vikings. He was working for, at that time, WDGY, which is KFAN now. And Lou
Nanny?
Yeah. Lou Nanny. And I want to get him on my show. I think that'd be really interesting. He's in some position, I think, with the U on
he does a lot marketing. He does a lot of fundraising for the U, University of Minnesota. He does a lot. Fortunate. I know Lou quite well, and
you do.
He does a lot of.
You have his telephone number?
I do.
Okay.
He does a lot of things that really benefit the state of Minnesota and hockey in Minnesota, but the University of Minnesota as well. He's a very giving man.
Yeah, and like I said, he and I sat together during Viking games at the old Met Stadium, and he had just retired from hockey. And he was getting his feet wet on how to, you know, conduct interviews and what time to go where and all that stuff. So we shared many a game together in the enclosed old Met Stadium. That was fun.
It was that whole complex back in the day was a great place. But obviously technology and everything kind of comes our way, and If you look at the old Met Center and compare it to the new U.S. Bank Stadium, I think people would, you know, it's quite a difference.
And I'm a former St. Paulite.
Okay.
And so when Wild got to go to XL Energy Center in St. Paul, I was very proud of that. What do you think of that building?
It's a phenomenal building, and I remember, you know, you had the old clear boards in the old building there, and when they came in and did that facility, it's a fantastic facility, not only for the pro hockey teams, but also the WCHA hosted its Final Five there for a long time. So got to coach a few games in that building, and it's a phenomenal facility for the players as well.
I have a friend named Dick Simon that had, I think, four tickets, season tickets, and he invited me to go with him one night and with a couple of other buddies. And I hadn't been in that building watching a hockey game, and this was several years ago. But anyhow, I was trying to compare the fans of the Twins, the fans for the Vikings, and the fans for the North Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which one do you think were more rabid?
Well, the one thing about hockey in Minnesota, you have a lot of knowledgeable fans. If you travel the country and go to games at different stadiums, the knowledge level of the average fan in the different stadiums is nowhere near the knowledge level of a Minnesota hockey fan. Most of the people who have grown up in Minnesota have been exposed to hockey at some level. Some of them quite extensively, and so I think you have a very knowledgeable hockey fan in Minnesota. I think football, you have a very rabid supporting Viking contingent, and in baseball, I think baseball is more of a sport where you go for a, you know, the old Sunday afternoon and relax and watch a baseball game.
Yep.
And I think it kind of holds true in Minnesota, I think.
Did you get
really
to go to
enjoy the new stadium for baseball as well?
Did you get to go to 87, 91, a World Series?
I did.
Where'd you get your tickets?
I had a friend who had a couple of tickets, and I what I remember the most is just how loud it was inside that building at that time. And you know, great experience growing up. Got to see a World Series championship.
Did you see both of them or just one?
I saw games in both of them.
Well, where were you seated?
The one game, I know we were up a little ways in left field, and the other game had great tickets right down the first baseline, up I don't know, probably 20 rows up. And
did you get to go to all the games or
no? Just okay. One game in each of the World Series.
I went to just one game.
Okay,
and you know which game it was? 7.
Oh, you got to go to the right one.
Yep. My daughter at the time, it was like 11. Mm. And when we left the stadium after in 87 and they won, I had a big old Bronco. They don't make those anymore, do they?
No, they do not.
Okay. And the town was going nuts, you know, pedestrians and cars and... I'll never forget, she looked and she said, "Daddy, can I honk the horn?" And, of course, we're stuck in traffic.
Right.
I said, "You honk that as much as you want."
Right.
And she just laid on that horn, and we got to 35 and on home. So it was quite a thrill.
Yeah, a great experience for
and
the
then,
people in Minnesota.
Game 7 of 91, I had a Danish exchange student.
Huh.
And I had my ticket, and he got one from some connection, and so there we were in the stadium and looking through binoculars, and I'm on one end of the stadium, he's on the other, and we actually at the same time looked, and he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. Out of all, 60,000 people,
yeah.
Whatever it was, it was weird, you know.
Just me,
like,
too.
Yeah. 1032 on 1080 Radio, KYMN. We're going to take a break. We'll be back and start talking about family with Troy Jutting on KYMN. Now, there's a friend you can count on.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. It is Monday, and you know what that means. On Monday, it's time for 15 with the author. And boy, I'll tell you what, Terry Knight has gotten close to home. Here's the deal. The Defeat of Jesse James Days is coming up, and the Northfield Historical Society is going to host a very special guest. His name is Gail Lunning, L-U-N-N-I-N-G. And he is the author of Cole Younger, and is Terry Knight's guest today at 11 o'clock, 15 with the author. By the way, the novel begins with Cole as an old man, detailing his story to a young newspaper reporter. It is written from Cole's perspective, including some history of the Kansas-Missouri border war and Quantrill's raiders. That'll be interesting. Lunning discusses the fire in the Stillwater prison where Younger could have escaped. That story will be, the interview will be at 11 o'clock this morning. Gail Lunning will be in Northfield, by the way, at the Northfield Historical Society's open house from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, September 6th, Townie Night. And he is going to be signing books all weekend. And that information will be on KYMN 1080 Radio. So be sure to go down and visit him. Did you know that Cole Younger was the first ever to publish a newspaper inside a prison, the Stillwater Prison? And, of course, now I think every prison has their own newspaper. Some even have their own radio stations.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
Number 5 in all of 1982. Sure sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But again, you're going to stump me.
I'll give you a hint. We're in a rural area, and farmers sometimes have to take some crop off the field. And then you can think of sharks.
Hall & Oates?
Yes, yes. It'll be coming up here.
She'll eat you up.
Huh?
She'll eat you up?
Yeah.
Is that the title?
No. Yeah. Don't feel bad. Some guests don't.
I was, I'm surprised I got Hall & Oates, to be honest with you.
Well, I gave you a nice hint.
Yes, he did.
Once again, my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is a gentleman by the name of Troy Jutting. And Troy is the GM at Apple Chevrolet Buick here in Northfield. And very interesting. He has a great career in coaching and as an athlete, both on the high school, middle school, grade school and college level, and hockey aficionado, whatever. What do you think of the Wild? Are they going to do much this winter?
I sure hope so. It'll be interesting to see with the new general manager what his philosophy is in terms of players and how they go about building or rebuilding, whatever they're going to do with that hockey team.
Who's Tom? Is it Tom Thibodeau?
Thibodeau?
I don't know. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, I don't.
Who's the coach?
The coach is Bruce Boudreau. He's done a nice job. I think, you know, they're kind of caught a little bit in between what kind of team they want to be.
Who's the GM? Neither do
Buzz
I.
Buzz Fletcher.
Oh, thank you.
And they removed him this year, and they hired a new gentleman. I want to say he was the assistant GM in Nashville. We'll see. I'm not positive on that, but it will be, I'm sure, you know, anytime a new general manager comes in, a little bit of philosophy change and how they go about building their team and what they're looking for.
It seems like the owner's a kind of a hands-off guy, Wisconsin millionaire.
Yeah, the Leopold, I believe they own Johnson & Johnson.
Oh,
is where their money comes from. He wants to win, and I think that's a great thing for any owner. And we'll see. Hopefully, they get there.
At 21 minutes before 11 o'clock, Troy, do you have a family, children, grandchildren?
I do. I have two boys. I have a son, Ryan, who just graduated from Minnesota Duluth. Happy for him. He's out into the real world now. And then I have a younger son, Tyler, who's just starting at the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs.
Really?
Yeah.
Gonna be
out there, play hockey, and go to the Air Force Academy and...
That's quite a deal.
I'm proud of him. It's quite an ordeal to get in there.
Well, what senator did he know?
Well, we didn't know any, but he had to have the letters of recommendation from congressmen and senators and letters of recommendation academically as well, and all of the things that you go through to get into there.
Was he recruited?
He was.
Okay.
He was.
So then they tell him, here's how you go about it to get in.
Yes.
Number one, grades.
Yes. You have to. He attended Shattuck, played hockey at Shattuck.
That's a...
In Faribault here, and spent his last 2 years there. He played at and went to school at Mankato West, his 9th and 10th grade seasons, and then he went to Shattuck for 11th and 12th grade. And then he went out and played junior hockey in British Columbia for a couple of years, and now he's a freshman at the Air Force Academy.
Wow. An older freshman.
He's a 20-year-old freshman.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids that play hockey are 20 years old when they're freshmen. You know, having been at the college level for the amount of time I have been, I almost want to say it should be a requirement for every kid to spend a year out after high school to kind of see what the real world's like. And I think one of the things you see that derails kids at times is they get away for the first time from mom and dad and the rules, and they want to go out and think they know and do their own thing, and a lot of times it causes them problems. And
I understand that.
If you get out into the real world a little bit and understand a little bit more, I think those kids, I found anyways, those kids were better students when they came in as 20-year-old freshmen than they were as 18-year-old freshmen.
How did Tyler find Shattuck?
Obviously, having been in the hockey world myself and knowing of Shattuck's history and knowing academically, very fortunate that both my children, where they got it from, I'm not quite sure, but they were both very good students. And he wanted to pursue hockey as well as his education, and we just felt like that was the best place for him.
And what's Mom's name?
Mom's name is Carol Ann.
Carol Ann?
Carol Ann.
Does she pursue a profession?
She works for the state of Minnesota.
Cool.
In the Department of Transportation. She does some stuff with the real estate, you're talking about overtake, you know, to try and put in a railway, but they yeah. do things to put in roads as well.
So she has to drive over to St. Paul?
No, she lives in Mankato.
Okay.
We're divorced, but have a good relationship and support of the boys. But she lives and works out of Mankato.
Okay. At 18 minutes before 10 o'clock, my guest this morning is Troy Judding. He's GM at GM in Northfield Chevrolet and Buick. Tell me a little bit more, if you will, about what it was like for you as a father to see your son get into three of the toughest military schools in the U.S., the Naval Academy in Maryland, Air Force in Colorado, and
Army,
West Point.
In West Point.
Yeah. Did he get a choice? Or
no, he was actually recruited to play hockey at the Air Force Academy, and so obviously proud of him. It's quite an ordeal, the things you got to go through to get accepted, both physically and mentally, in your academics and the letters from congressmen and senators and all the stuff that goes along with it. So I'm proud of him. He's got a lot of hard work ahead of him.
Oh boy. When's he report?
He's there. They've started school already. He had to go through, even the kids that go to the academy for 4 years, they go through basic their first summer, so he's already been through basic training. I think he actually kind of enjoyed most of that, which is a little different. He likes a challenge, and so he's been, they've been in classes for a little over 2 weeks already.
Wow. Have you seen him in uniform?
I have not. I have not seen him in uniform.
What do they call it? Skyping?
Yeah, what? They limit. They especially when they first get out there, they limit the amount of contact you actually have with them. They got to turn their phones in, but it's starting to get to the point now where I've get to talk to him a lot more, but have not seen a picture of him yet in uniform.
Has he aspiring to be? Like a pilot?
No, he doesn't want to be a pilot. He's going to get his degree in economics from the Air Force Academy, so we'll see where that takes him.
So he has to do what, 4 years after he gets out?
It's actually five.
Five?
5 years after he gets out, but you get a job immediately when you graduate working on one of the bases in your field of study.
Okay.
And so it's actually a pretty good job that they give you.
Did he have a choice? Was he looking at other colleges that may have been recruiting him and have to sit down and maybe invite you? What to do with this very important step in his life?
Yeah, he did. He had choices, but as I said earlier, he's always been very academically driven as well as athletically, and the combination of athletics and academics, there's not too many schools in the country that put together the combination of academics and athletics the way the Air Force does. So that's what swayed him, was the academic part of it as much as the athletic, if not more.
Well, being a plebe is going to be really interesting and like discipline. And if you accept it, you get through it. But if you want to fight it, then you have a problem.
Right.
What about Ryan, your oldest son?
Yeah, he graduated from Duluth with a degree in engineering.
Were you a little bit disappointed that he didn't go to Mankato?
No, I'm a big proponent, whether it's right or wrong, of kids going away to college. I think one of the things that happens when kids stay home and go to school, they don't expand their horizons. They still hang out with their old high school buddies, and you'll always have your old high school buddies. But I think what happens if you stay at home, you end up reverting back to that's what you know, and that's who you end up hanging out with, versus going away to school and meeting a whole new set of friends, another set of friends, and experiencing something different in life.
Well, with two colleges here in town, what I always thought was kind of fun is that kids will say, well, I'm going to Luther, or I'm going to Northwestern, mm-hmm. or I'm going to the U. Mm-hmm. And what they want to be is they want to be far away from mom and dad, but close enough to bring the laundry home.
laundry home and get mom's or dad's cooking. There's some advantages to being close to home too as well. I think it's great that you can get back and be with your parents and be around your high school friends. But I, again, I'm a proponent of getting out and seeing a little bit more of the world.
Speaking about seeing more of the world, with your background as a coach, did you have a profession other than coaching before you got to Apple?
No, I did not. So I spent my whole career as a college coach.
So you're hand-to-mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did you hook up with Apple?
I had a friend who introduced me to the owner, Chris Goldmanson, and to the COO, Sean McCormick, 4 or 5 years ago. When college coaching is an unbelievable profession, but there's a lot of things that go along with it. I miss the kids, miss the practices, miss the games, some of the other stuff. I don't. A lot of nights away from home, a lot of travel, and I just didn't think I'd probably be doing it or want to be doing it when I was 60. So I started looking into some other things a few years ago and was fortunate enough to meet those people, and we had a series of conversations. Fortunately, they brought me on board, and as I said, I've enjoyed every minute of it so far.
So what were you driving at that time?
one of the things with college coaching, you know, one of the perks of my job was I got a vehicle every year. And so at the time I was driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee, which we have a Jeep store.
Yeah.
Now I'm driving a Ram, but as soon as my lease is done on that, I'm sure I'll be in a Silverado next.
All right. We're going to talk about you're moving professionally to Northfield, not to family. And right after we take this last break on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, we are KYMN.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Market, Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation, choice, tradition.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATHTUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
One of my favorite songs from 1982.
I remember all the music, I just don't remember who did it and what the names were.
Yeah.
I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame. Full of desire. Kiss me, baby. Let the fire get higher.
The Steve Miller Band.
Steve Miller Band.
Yeah, they just performed down in Red Wing about 3 months ago, I think. It is 9 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Don't forget the big story at 11 o'clock is Gail Lunning. He's the author of Cole Younger and is Terry Knight's guest today on 15 with the Author. It should be a very interesting interview. Hang in there. All right, we're with a guy by the name of Troy Jutting, and he is a former coach. And how many different places did you coach?
Just two. Coached at Mankato and at Nebraska Omaha.
Okay. How long were you at Nebraska, Omaha?
I was there for 4 years.
And how was the living out there in that Great Prairie?
Omaha is a really nice town. I knew very little about it when I went down there, but a really nice town, obviously, with Warren Buffett in town. Financially, the community is very strong and a very strong support base in that community.
What about the rink?
The rink built brand new. Beautiful facility again. When you have Warren Buffett and Warren's, I call them fingers, the number of people that Warren's touched and been able to help throughout his life, a lot of those people are extremely successful now and give back to that community too, a very philanthropic community.
Have you met him?
I got a chance to meet him just very, very briefly. Got to say hi. That was it.
Did he know you were the coach of the hockey team?
I was introduced as a hockey coach, but he wouldn't have known if I wasn't.
Well, you touched greatness, that's for sure, when you shook hands.
Well, he's a special man for sure, and again, not only does he do extremely well, but he's very philanthropic. He gives a lot of his money to great causes.
Now, when you think Nebraska, you don't think hockey. You think Cornhuskers in Lincoln.
Yes.
So were you competing for the fan, or was it just a gimme that they're going to have the big red and that's...
They're going to have their fan base, and they always will. But we, the hockey season runs, we probably only crossed over on a couple weekends a year, and we still had a number of hockey. Hockey in Omaha is actually big, and so we actually had a fair number of fans every game. But it's not, like you say, hockey in Minnesota is kind of religion to some degree in Minnesota. It's football is kind of religion in Nebraska, no question.
When you're looking for players and you had all this experience, where would you look? When you were coaching in Nebraska, where would you go? Like in pro football, you look at Texas.
Had a fair number of Minnesota kids, had a fair number of kids from Western Canada, British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and then the scattered kids. You know, it's been interesting since pro hockey's expanded to some of the states like Florida and Texas and California. A lot more hockey players are starting to come out of those areas. They see it when they're young and they want to get going in it, and a lot of real good players coming out of California, Arizona, Texas, Florida. It's growing like crazy in those areas.
What was your satisfaction in regards to accomplishment as the coach of Omaha?
Nebraska, Omaha. I guess, the biggest satisfaction in coaching, got the great opportunity to coach a U.S. under-18 team back in the early 2000s, where we ended up winning the gold medal, and had a great group of kids. They were all 17 years old at the time, and competed against Russia, Canada, Sweden, all of the great hockey playing countries. That was in Pištany, Slovakia, the tournament was, and got to compete against Malkin, was a player at that time for Russia, and Crosby was a player for Canada, so got to compete against some great players and ended up winning the gold medal there.
How did a 17-year-old afford to go to wherever you said?
The USA Hockey, it's quite a selection process. It starts at the district level in each state and then goes to the state level and then goes to a national level, and you take the top 20 or supposed top 20 17-year-olds from the whole country, and U.S. Hockey actually foots the bill for that.
So you must not turn 18 up to this date?
It's a birth year thing.
Yeah.
So it's the 17-year-old birth year played on that team. They have the same, it's not the same tournament, but they have a tournament for 16-year-olds that doesn't have Russia and Canada in it.
So you guys went out there, you're the head coach,
mm-hmm.
and were you real involved in the recruitment of the 20 players?
Involved heavily with the selection process. At that level, you don't recruit. As I said, it starts off in the district. Like, kids from Northfield will try out to be on the Minnesota District 15 team. Okay. And so it starts out there, and then you go to a camp in your state where they select the top 20 players, and then they send them to the national camp where there's 240 kids, and then you pick the top 20 out of them 240 to participate in this tournament.
Well, Coach, you must have had help. I mean, how do you pair 200 plus down to 20?
Well, I had two assistant coaches that worked with me, and we did a lot of it, and then you get input from each of those teams have two coaches, actually, of the 20 kids from Minnesota or Michigan or wherever they're from, and you get their involvement. One of the things when you're going to be traveling abroad for 10, 12 days, you want to find out really what kind of kid they are, too, because there's a lot of things that you know, for a 17-year-old kid to be in another country.
You use Facebook?
I do not, and didn't back then. You do a lot, though, of homework. When you get down, when you pare that list down to, say, top 40, 50 kids left, then you start really digging into what kind of kid are they. Are they going to be somebody that we're going to have to worry about when we're on the road, or are they going to represent our country the way that you want your country represented?
So they came home, excuse me, with a gold medal.
Yep.
That would be the highest accomplishment for a 17-year-old in the hockey world.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you go from there?
No, at that time it was the highest accomplishment for those kids. One of the players on that team was Matt Niskanen, who has since won Stanley Cups, and kid named Corey Schneider, who's a goaltender in the NHL, still those kids, Keith Handel, there's still three or four of those kids that are still playing in the National Hockey League.
You never in this entire conversation mentioned basketball.
I love basketball. Here's the funny story. I had four brothers who all played hockey. Both my parents were basketball players. The only reason we didn't play basketball is because you couldn't throw it up to the hoop. You could start hockey earlier. And that's why we started hockey and just, you know, obviously fell in love with it and stayed with it. But I enjoy basketball as well. I enjoy really all sports.
And so if you are on a hockey team and it's all amateur and you're investing in your kid, and you have to, you know, supply things, the last thing you want is to have your kid want to be a goalie.
Well,
expense-wise.
Well, it's expensive to play the sport. One of the things that I've found over the years is get a lot of great kids in hockey because it takes a real commitment by their parents. Parents, financially, one thing, but time is another, and the amount of time that parents spend with their kids in the car, where they're not on Facebook or they're not playing their video games. You get a lot of quality time, and I'm a firm believer you have a lot of quality kids because of the amount of time that parents have to spend with their kids to be a hockey player.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to thank you for coming in today. I didn't have any idea of what your background was, and you're now the general manager of the Apple Chevrolet Buick store here in Northfield, Minnesota, and you were a coach for your primetime lifetime, and you got some kids you're very, very proud of. Looks like, what do you think of Northfield in 30 seconds?
I love the town of Northfield. As I said, spending 25 years in Mankato, I got to come to Northfield a lot for different. My kids all played hockey and baseball and football in these towns, and I've always loved Northfield. I think the colleges give it a little different environment and feel here, and a great community, a really, really nice community.
In one word, describe the Northfield Ice Arena.
Two words, really cold.
That was a tough one. Hey, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. Troy Judding was my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, and the 95.1 FM. And it's time now for Terry Knight.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
The Defeat of Jesse James Days is coming up, and the Northfield Historical Society will host a very special guest, Gail Lunning. He's the author of Cole Younger and is my guest today on 15 with the Author. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Thank you very much, Terry. Glad to be here.
Well, first, I would like it if you could refresh folks' memories on the events of September 7th, 1876 in Northfield.
Yes, that was when Jesse James and Cole Younger and their boys, two of Cole's brothers and some other guys, make a total of eight for their gang. They decided to come north to Northfield because things were getting pretty warm for them here in Missouri. So they came to Northfield and decided that they were going to take out a bank in a small town in Northfield and ran into some difficulties that they did not anticipate.
Boy, they sure did.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I really was intrigued by with your book is that you begin with Cole as an old man detailing his story to a young newspaper reporter. Did that did that ever happen, or was that part?
No, that was my way. Yeah, I kind of write in a kind of a conversational style, and I needed to have a method of him, Cole, telling his story. So I invented a young reporter to come and review him or interview him and talk with Cole. So I had Cole relating his story to this young reporter, but the reporter did not exist.
Well, and I love the way you did that. You write from Cole's perspective, and I was not expecting that, and found